Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So like when you watch me on tape and you watch them, it's two different animals you're looking at.
What kind of animal are you?
I'm a dog. I'm a dog, man. I don't know about them, but you know, I always feel like I'm the biggest dude on the field.
Being from South Florida, you know, I mean, we just kind of different. I mean,
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. So make sure you subscribe and turn on your alerts so you can get the show right away. Pat P, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Well, Matt, man, we got a lot to talk about this episode, but a few episodes ago, we talked about how it was having family members that play in the league. And we got two guys, two young studs, who dad was some Pro Bowl players. And I mean some top-notch Pro Bowl players. We got J.C. Horn and we got Asante Samuel Jr. holding it down on both corners. We both this time, Matt, we both going to take a break this week. We're going to let the young boys sit them. So we got the young boys. We got some great conversation with the young boys this episode. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All Things Covered, listeners and viewers. If you guys have been following the show, you know exactly how it goes. First quarter, here's where we chop it up. And in this chopping it up segment, we're going to take you guys into the life of draft prospects. We've been doing that over the last few weeks, trying to give you guys the feeling of how it feels to be a draftable player. Pat mentioned it in the intro. We have two outstanding up-and-coming corners that will be drafted high in this upcoming NFL draft. So in this chopping it up segment, we're going to take you guys into the pre-draft workouts. Pat P got drafted. I got drafted. And upon us getting drafted, we had to go somewhere to get into the training element, to be able to put up outstanding numbers at the combine during our pro day, to be able to go as high as possible. And Pat P, you put up astronomical numbers at the combine, but you had to train to be able to be precise and consistent and giving the world what they wanted to see from you. So take us into what your pre-draft workout was and how consistent it was and some of the unique things you were able to do to be able to run that fast 40.
Man, it was a joy, actually, man. I loved every minute of that process, being able to train. I almost felt like a fighter. I almost felt like a boxer. You know what I mean? Getting ready for that big night just to show everybody everything that you've been training, everything that you've been working for and working towards that you put it on tape right now. So, man, that process for me was unbelievable, man. I had the opportunity to work out in Florida, work out with my dad, world-class speed at FAU. So that was awesome. And, you know, it was a grind every day. It was a grind every single day. But the biggest shock to me was I never was really worried about, like, my weight or whatever, but I always was a big boy. So I never weighed myself throughout the process, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember going to the thing, and I remember watching like the draft, like the combine stuff on TV or whatever. And still, man, I ain't weighed myself the night before. I ate good, some good pasta and everything. Cause I'm trained, you know, I'm in the hallway the night before, you know, getting my 40, you know, my forms and all that stuff down past. So I was like, man, I gotta have me a good dinner. Cause you know, I want to be make sure, cause I absorbed all my energy that day. So I want to give me some good pasta, make sure I got me some good energy and just, you know what I mean? Just let that thing go, tomorrow. Man, I got on that scale. I think it was John Lott. Shout out to John Lott.
Coach Lott.
I think John Lott was calling out the weights. Yeah, he'll call out the weights. He was a bench press guy. So Coach John Lott was like, 2197. I was like, damn. Why I'm 219? I ain't never weighed myself, Matt. So
the entire draft process working out, you never got on the scale.
Never weighed myself. I'm just worried about just training. Like, cause I ain't worried about like how heavy I am. I know I'm going to perform. You know what I mean? I'm going to perform. Especially
what did you think you weighed, Pat? What you thought you weighed?
I was around like, cause I went into LSU at 205. So I always was like a big boy. And you knew, like, you know, in college it'd be gaining all this creatine, all this all this powder. You work out every damn day. So I was just gaining nothing but muscle. I thought I was like 210, though, 211, 210. Man, he said 2198. I said, damn.
Wait a minute. So let me ask you this question. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, if you were 210, 208.
I would have been like Dion. I would have kept running.
You think you could have clocked 4.2 if you would have been that light?
Man, no doubt about it, man. I'm telling you, because I had no clue I was that big. I thought that weight wasn't, you know, because I worked out every day. It wasn't like I was just chilling, you know what I mean? So I worked out every single day. I mean, every day, even on Sundays, going doing beach workouts. Like when I say it was like a boxer mentality, that's how I train every single day. So like I said, I really never cared about my weight. And like that was the least of my concerns. But when he said that 219, I was like, damn. I was like, damn, that's kind of big. But I ended up going out there. You know, my numbers backed it up. You know, I ended up running the 4.34, you know, jumped out the building, 10.9, 10.8 on the bar jump, low sixes in the three cones. So, you know, everything that I worked for, though, everything that I prepared myself for throughout the process of getting myself prepared for that, it definitely showed, you know, so I grind, man. Like, you know, Matthew, you came to a couple of sessions, you know.
No question.
You're still in the league, you know, at the time. So, you know, I worked my tail off every day. So, and it showed.
Yeah.
How was it? Because I know you went to
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. I was there right before Katrina. Working out with the legendary, great Tom Shaw.
That's his name. Uh-huh.
Florida State guy, T. Shaw. It was a good experience for me because, you know, Tom Shaw was a well-known, you know, trainer, you know, getting guys ready for the draft. So there was a lot of other players there that were a part of my class that were there. You know, a lot of fellow DBs. So we got a chance to train together. One unique thing about Tom Shaw, though, Pat P, he was going to make sure you were in shape.
Yeah.
We used to run so much. We used to run Tom Shaw facilities in New Orleans was off of Williams Boulevard, if I'm not mistaken. And we used to run to the canal where they had the big boat, the trolley looking boat.
Yeah.
Man, we used to have to run there and run back. And that could have been almost like 10 miles. That used to be the warm up.
Oh.
That was the warm up. Like, Coach Shaw, what you doing, man? I ain't no cross country runner. Like, you gonna run me home, man. I'm not, I signed up to run the 40.
Hey, man, Tom,
for drills.
That's how I like it.
Hey, we used to run to the trolley and run back. And you know, you competitive, so you don't want to be at the back of the line.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be back there with the offensive and defensive linemen. So, man, we used to have to do that, man. We did that like at least twice a day. And one thing Tom Shaw used to do for us, man, like on Saturdays would be a bonus day. So we would come in on Saturday, and that's when he would emphasize stuff, you know, for the bench press, you know, repetitions and stuff like that, burnout. So we'll do a whole bench workout on Saturday, and then at the end, he'll go get a full deck of cards, fresh deck of cards.
Oh, yeah.
So he'll shuffle the cards up real nice. So all of us, if it's 15, you know, 12, it doesn't matter how many people, one person will always pluck a card off the deck. Whatever card comes up, that number, you know, you do that amount of push-ups along with that amount of sit-ups. Whoa. So if you get a face cards count as 10, just like the number 10. So anytime he flip a card over, we got 10 push-ups, we got 10 full sit-ups, right? No one holding your legs. You know, when you got someone holding your legs doing sit-ups, it's a little easy. It's easier. So T-Shaw would be like, no, y'all got to get this core together. You know what I mean? So we're going to work on this bench, and you're going to work on this core at the same time. So we have to go through the deck of cards, go through it, and then go through it again. So by the time you get to that second deck, man, you can't even scratch your shoulder. You know what I mean? Trying to take a shower. I can't even wash my back because I'm so tight. But I can tell you this much. He had your core right. He had your core right, and your lungs were right.
Yeah, I remember them Wednesday beach workouts in Orlando. I'm not beach, a pool workouts in Orlando on that resort.
Oh, you remember?
Running the opposite way with the current.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
the lazy river.
No question. Pat, I had, you were getting a top tier training in high school.
I know, man. That's what I said. Man. I was blessed, man, to see it before, you know, I was able to really live it. So that's why I think it came easy to me, you know, once I was able to be in the league, far as knowing how to train in all season, as knowing what type of food to put in your body, far as, you know, how to travel, you know, the most important thing is how to manage your time, you know, do all of that, especially when you have a wife, kids, you know, other things that you may want to do, you know, throughout the day. So that's that. I think that's definitely something that guys lose the art of managing their time throughout the day, making sure they're making the most of it throughout their day.
No doubt. No doubt. And those are some things that for you guys that are watching us on YouTube, I hope everybody's subscribing to our YouTube page. We thank you for the viewers that we currently have. And the same can be said for the podcast. You guys want to get your workout on? Go ahead and get your nice warm up for about 6 miles. Or you want to get your nice core and push up workout? Go through a deck of cards and leave us a 5-star question about that experience. We'd love to hear some of the normal viewers that we have that are not as athletic go through a deck of cards at least 2 times, and let's see how that experience was for you. We would definitely would love to answer or talk about it here on the show. Ha! All right, second quarter where things kind of change up a little bit. Coaches got to make their adjustments. Players got to make their adjustments. And here on our show, when we talk, tap into the second quarter, this is the favorite part of a lot of people's show. Has Pat hurt? I think we need to get some t-shirts with Pat P face. Has Pat hurt? This is the part of the show where we ask Pat random sports related questions, because during the off season, if you're new to the show, Pat P travels. He moves around a lot. He plays a lot of golf. You know, he's working out. So he's not really in tune with what is going on in the sporting world. So we decided to implement this part of the show. Currently, Pat's record so far, he's 13 of 22 stories that he's heard before. So he's gotten 13 right. He's gotten 22 wrong. This is a big one right here for Pat P. Starting off the show, has Pat heard Sam Darnold just got traded?
Damn. To who?
Wait a minute. What? You said to who?
I just saw that they had him at the face of the ticket office the other day. Or the ticket.
Hey. How it started and how it's going. You know the little meme they be having on social media now? Yeah, how it started was his face was on the ticket office. How it's going, he's no longer with the Jets.
I saw Adam Scheffler. He had posted, it was like, man, do the ticket office know something we don't? So well, I thought he said, where did he go?
He just got.
I haven't heard.
You haven't heard that? It just happened today. Breaking news everywhere.
Oh, okay, good. I'm happy it happened 2 days ago or something like that.
No, it happened two days. It just happened today. Well, he got traded to the Carolina Panthers.
What?
And guess what they gave up? What? They gave up a 6th-rounder this year, a 4th-rounder.
Carolina gave this up.
Yeah, Carolina gave up a 6th-rounder this year, a 4th-rounder this year, and a 2nd-rounder next year. Y'all gave up a second. What? No. Miami gave y'all a 2nd-rounder for Josh Rosen a few years ago, right? If I'm not mistaken.
No. Hey, but tell me this though. What pick is the Jets this year?
Number two.
Carolina Panthers.
Okay, Carolina had the 8th pick in this year's draft. Now, they said the Panthers were thinking about taking a quarterback. Now, this move makes sense.
A quarterback.
Huh?
I thought they was going to definitely take a quarterback, because they got a lot of quarterbacks in this draft that fits. You know, what's the coach name out there again?
Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
Matt, and Joe Brady. And got Joe Brady.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft that fits, you know, what they're looking for.
Well, the thing is with the Panthers, I guess they felt like whatever quarterback they can get their hands on at the 8th pick probably isn't the same level as Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold might be a few notches ahead of them, right? Because all the top tier guys would be gone. Huh?
They can't be thinking that because they gave up too much.
But, Pat, they gave up 1 second round. They gave up a 6 and a 4th. You know, 6 rounders don't even really make the team.
I get that, but you still can find some dimes in the rough.
You can. But the thing is, look at this. They got their quarterback in place. If it don't work out, you're only basically losing a second rounder. If it don't work out.
He lost money, though, too. Did he just sign a big deal?
No, he's still in his rookie deal.
Okay, yeah, they blessed him. Yeah,
he's still in his rookie deal. And you can add another piece to the puzzle with the 8th overall selection. So look at this scenario. This is why I think it makes sense.
Quality. It's not like he's not a bad quarterback. I mean,
Adam Gates made Ryan Tannehill look like some cold slaw.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not like he's not a bad quarterback. I like to see him in a different system because obviously everybody who's been around Adam has not been, you know, very successful. But I think I think, you know, he can throw the ball now. It's not like he's not
he
a back.
He just didn't have sound structure around him.
Right, right. But I just think with, I don't know, he is kind of mobile too, so I don't know, it might work out.
A change of scenery may help, because we thought Ryan Tannehill was some coleslaw until he went to Tennessee.
Some coleslaw.
You know, you get the wrong batch of coleslaw, don't taste too good. You know, you can't eat everybody's coleslaw.
Mayonnaise, man.
No
style
question. That coleslaw,
that
man.
How to do it, Mac?
No, I don't want no coleslaw. Yeah. We thought Ryan Tannehill was some coleslaw until he got to Tennessee, got away from Adam Gates. So maybe this could be a situation for Carolina.
This might definitely be, you know, something that can help.
The next question for Pat Pete, your former coach, Bruce Arians, got a Super Bowl tattoo.
Yeah,
you saw the tattoo?
I saw that. Okay. I saw the tattoo.
He got his tattoo. He made a promise. He made a promise when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, he'd get a tattoo.
Yep.
Yeah. Heck, I would ask you, would you get a tattoo Super Bowl? But that wouldn't be crazy for you because you got a whole bunch of tattoos. So.
Yeah, I already got some, but I ain't getting no more tattoos. I'm done with that.
Okay. So you won a Super Bowl this year, Minnesota Vikings. You ain't getting
no
tattoo. Nah. You sure?
Kiss the Lombardi.
Okay.
And get ready for the next one.
You going to get the skull? You going to get the skull clap?
Yeah, get a skull. Yep.
All right. Next question for you. NFL could loosen the jersey number restrictions. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I'm trying to get seven, man. The hell with all that. I'm trying to rock seven this year.
You trying to get seven?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If they actually do that, you really want to change your number to seven?
I want to rock seven, not seven. Sam.
Wow. And for the listeners and viewers that are watching us, the NFL, they're thinking about changing the rule. So notable corners could wear any jersey number from 1 through 49 instead of 20 through 49. Also, linebackers could wear numbers from 90 through 90. 90 through 99 linebackers. Offensive skill positional players could wear any jersey number from 1 through 49. So Pat P would get number 7.
I like Sam.
Sam. Pat P would go up to number Sam. All right. Oh, let me see if you heard this. It's the Masters week. All right. All right. So we got a big time question for you regarding the Masters. Do you know who the favorite to win the tournament is?
I don't know who's the favorite. If I had to take a wild guess, I'd say.
You get two guesses. We give you two guesses.
Oh, you give me two?
Yep.
Dustin Johnson probably got to be one of them.
That's one. Okay, you got that one right.
Yeah, that dude just playing unbelievable right now. And like his coach said, like he's the closest thing right now as far as intimidation, as far as his skill set. Mm-hmm. When he's on, he's like Tiger Woods. Like, ain't nobody touch him.
He's 9-1. He's the favorite. Yeah. So who else would be after DJ?
After him? I'll probably say Xavier Shoffley.
Mm-mm. He's not even in the top six.
Okay. My next, I got the first one right, so I get another guess then. Man, much as I want to say, I know they don't have. Oh, what is that? Like, what is that? Is it Superman?
Huh? You supposed to know who that is, man, the logo, man.
Oh, it's. Jordan Spieth?
Yeah, he's the second favorite. Yeah, that Jordan.
Oh, really?
Jordan.
I know Jordan just won this past week, but Jordan been playing really good all season.
10-1.
He haven't been able to close the door, but he closed that door Sunday. He played okay Sunday to get the win, but he's been playing well all season. And plus he won there, you know, a couple times or one time.
Mm-hmm.
And been in contentions there every time he plays. So this course actually sets up great for Jordan because he don't hit the ball very long, but he's a great iron and putter. So I can see Jordan being in that final group, him and Dustin in the final group on Sunday.
The top six goes as listed: Dustin, Jordan, Justin, Bryson, John Rahm, friend of the show, and Roy McIlroy.
And yeah, I think. Go ahead.
I would say in November. Remember, the Masters happened in this past November. You pick Bryson. Who are you picking this time?
I'm gonna go with Dustin. Like I said, when Dustin's on, he's pretty good. But for some odd reason, and that's almost like his home course because he grew up not too far from there. So he played that course all the time. But I don't know what it is because he hits the ball. I don't know if he hit the ball too far and putting the ball in bad places on the course. That's why I think Bryson have a hard time playing there because you don't really need to bomb the ball there because, you know, those greens are very, very tricky, as those guys know, when it comes down to the approach shots. You know, I believe that's the defense of that course, you know, and also the weather can be a defense as well. So, you know, it's all about putting the ball in great positions, as, you know, the past winners would tell you, you know, throughout the whole course, and making sure you stay patient, you know, when you get into 8-man corner. So, of course, it definitely presents a lot of challenges, but I just think Bryson just hits the ball too far there for some odd reason. It's just, I don't know if he's, because it's a tree line course, and the lines he wanted to take is just, you know, it just puts him in bad spots sometimes. But I'm going to take Dustin. I'm going to take Dustin to win it this go around. But I will not be surprised if Jordan wins it, because like I said, Jordan been playing some really, really good golf this year. But who I would love to see in contention, man, is my boy Ricky Fowler, man. I would love to see Ricky in contention on Sunday, you know, having the opportunity to put that green jacket on, because Ricky's one of my favorite players, and him and Justin, like, far as of the younger generations of golfers. So I would love to see, you know, either one of those guys put on a show on Sunday and try to get their first green jacket.
Oh, let's recap. Has Pat Hurd. So you only
that was
got
the last one?
Yeah, that's the last one. So you got one wrong.
Man. Yeah,
definitely above 500. You were three for four. 3 for 4 today.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel good about the day, man. I'm feeling good about the day.
3 for 4 right. Today. Has Pat Hurd.
Yep.
Productive day. 3 for 4. We add that to your overall record, and let's jump right back on it next week. But you didn't know Sam Darnold got traded to the Carolina Panthers.
It just happened today. So
I guess it happened today.
Here we go. We got a 2-minute warning right before halftime. And this week we got 21 questions, and this one's going to go to Mac this week. 21 questions is where we get a chance to interact with you, our viewers and listeners. If you want your questions answered in the future, leave a 5-star question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get it on the show. The question is from Coach's Dreams. Who do you think is the best cornerback in this year's draft?
Talented group of guys, as in every year when you look at the cornerbacks that will get drafted. I think right now it's a traffic jam of the top guys. Caleb Farley definitely was in that conversation, but you know, the injury concern, he just had a back ailment that was he was diagnosed with. I think he had a minor surgery, so he wasn't able to do anything at his pro day. Now, he had a lot of hype before that injury surfaced as potentially being the first corner to come off the board. But Pat P, you know how it is when people hear about that injury, especially having to have some type of surgery, you kind of lose some of the spunk, you know, some of the fire that you had associated with your name. So I won't have him in this conversation because of the injury, but when healthy, he could easily be a guy that could be the first to come off the board at the cornerback position. So right now it's a two-headed race between Pat Surtain Jr. and J.C. Horn, who we will have joining us in a few moments. Make sure you stay tuned for that conversation, along with Asante Samuel Jr., who will be joining us as well. But I think those two guys would be the top two corners right now, and here's why. Pat Surtain, extremely safe pick. The guy's been playing cornerback, seems like forever, at American Heritage High School there, where he played corner. His father played corner. Pat Surtain Sr. for the Miami Dolphins had a real, real good career, Kansas City as well. So he's been taught the cornerback position, seems like forever. Then he goes to Alabama, eventually jumps into the starting lineup as a freshman, put up nothing but hot tape. So he has the experience. He has the knowledge of the position, and he's been battle tested, to say the least. Just in practice alone at Alabama, think about some of the receivers he's went against. He went against, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Waddle, Devontae Smith, John Metchie III. So many elite, prolific, like pass catchers that he had to battle against in practice. And then that success carried on to SEC play. And he put up good numbers at the pro day. So he has everything you would want from a corner. Then here comes J.C. Horn, who got better every year, had a heck of a season before opting out. and then put up real good numbers as well during his pro day. So it depends on your system. You know what I mean? People forget, just because you're a dynamic player does not mean you will have that same production in every system, right, and being utilized the right way. You came out of college, you know, you're a man-to-man corner. You probably wouldn't have been as productive if you went to a cover two light scheme where they kind of emphasize the zone concepts. So it depends on the system for that said team that would determine who goes where. So I think, like I said, their traffic jam of those two players, they're in the same car, to say the least. Who gets out first, it depends on that organization and what they run on the defensive side. But I can tell you this much, you can close your eyes and pick either one, I think you'd be satisfied. That's how I'll see it. Because they have hot tape, and they were able to back that hot tape with real good numbers during their pro day. Also, we want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Each week, we give clues for our next guest. And the first person to guess correctly gets a follow and a shout out on the pod. So we have to give a shout out to YCGM Nelly, who was the first person to guess Rondale Moore on last week's show. Again, follow us on All Things Covered Pod for the very best content from the show. And shout out to YCGM Nelly.
Hey, man, how YGCM Nelly know that, man? You gave him the plug, Matt?
No. See, first of all, I told, you know, we can't just give too many hints because it makes it so easy.
Right.
YCGM Nelly knew something because they just saw the image.
That's what I'm
Rondale
saying.
Rondale and was like, Rondale Moore.
Right.
We might have a rat. We got a rat in the building.
Hey, E, you ain't giving out no answers, are you?
Nah.
Now, it's halftime for us. We told you guys we got two additions that we will add to our secondary. So on the other side of the break, we will be joined by talented NFL cornerback prospect J.C. Horn. Stay tuned.
Andre.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo. We back from halftime. We had to go out and make an addition to our secondary. I told you guys earlier in the show, we have two additions we're going to make to the secondary. This is the first addition. A talented player. He can do everything you want your defender to do in the secondary. NFL draft cornerback prospect out of the University of South Carolina. His social media, Twitter handle name is @JCHorn_10. On Instagram, @JCHorn. Also, this man, he has his own YouTube channel as well. We got to tap into the YouTube channel. I was not aware of the talented individual he is, especially off the football field, but you got to check his YouTube channel out. J.C. Horn is joining us here, All Things Covered. Before we get into the nitty gritty with you, J.C., I want to read something to you that was posted back in 2017.
Jeez.
It's from the USA Today article from 2017. And here's what JC had to say in that USA Today article. Before I read the article to you, JC, do you remember what you said in 2017? Of course, you had a lot of reporters in front of you. I know they quoted a lot of your statements. But this is what he said. He draws inspiration from his father. Horn looks up to a fellow 6-foot-plus corners like the Minnesota Vikings, Xavier Rhodes, and the Cardinals, Patrick Peterson, as players whose styles he likes to emulate. Peterson can always take away that number one wide receiver in the game, Horn said. When you hear that statement back in 2017, and when you look at how you go about going and taking care of your business on the football field, what have you tried to go out and accomplish to emulate some of the things that Pat P has been able to do in his professional career?
Man, basically everything, man. When I first switched over to the defensive back position, my dad just gave me a few guys to look at, and Pat P stood out the most. Even back to the LSU days, and, you know, since I started playing DB, you know, I watched a lot of his tape, tried to model my game after him. And, you know, like I said, you take away number one guys, and that's what you want to be able to do as a corner. So definitely drew a lot of my inspiration from him.
Well, I appreciate that, JC. Well, tell us a little bit about your first football memory.
First football memory, probably my first, like, jamboree game. I was at running back, and my folks was late to the game, and I got the ball, and I broke straight down the middle. It was like 60 yards, and I could see them walking across the gate, like at the back of the end zone, and they was all celebrating. So when I scored, they was walking in at the same time. So that's probably the most fond memory.
Did you have a celebration when you scored?
Nah, that was my first touchdown ever. So, you know, I was just jumping around.
We know your dad had one of the world's famous celebration with that, with the cell phone celebration. Where were you when that celebration happened? Were you at the game? Were you at the Superdome, or were you at the house? Where were you?
No, I was at the crib. I came about. My mom didn't really let us go to the Sunday night games.
Okay.
We had school the next day. Uh-huh. So we was begging to go. She didn't let us go. And my dad was like, I'm going to call you. So you got in the end zone, and that was just, I guess, his way of showing us that he was calling us.
He actually called you?
Nah, he actually called
us. I was about to say
that phone had service. Man, if that phone had service, man, he a bad man.
No doubt about it.
For sure.
That's dope. Speaking of your father, he retired when you were around 7 years old. But do you have any special memories dealing with your father in the national football field that you relate to from time to time, especially as you prepare to become an NFL player?
Man, not many, but one I can remember is just when he was with the Falcons. He took me in the facility one day and kind of just showed me, you know, how a day would go as a professional. And, you know, from the ice tub to the cold tub, he had me getting on in it, and I was like 7, 8. And, you know, all the things he was explaining to me, I didn't really understand it at a young age, but now more of it is starting to come full circle. And, you know, all the little gems he gave to me, I'm starting to see it now.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit. How was the recruiting process for you? Because we know you initially committed to Tennessee. How did you end up at South Carolina? And talk to us a little bit about the recruiting process for you.
Really, you know, I was locked in with Tennessee. And T-Rod, the guy, D coordinator at South Carolina, he kept recruiting me. He told me he was going to make me flip, but you know, I was locked in with Tennessee and, Coach Jones, Butch Jones, that got fired. And we had like number two or three recruiting class that year for Tennessee. And after he got fired, everybody started leaving. So, I decommitted, and, you know, T-Rod has stayed on me throughout the whole process consistently. And he does a great job with defensive back. So I just went out and rocked with him.
Yeah. And we got something in common, man. You was a freshman starter as well in the SEC. You know, how was that, you know, stepping into like a big conference like that, you knowing you're going to be on big stages, knowing that you're going to get, you know, top competitors, top athletes each and every week, but stepping on campus as a day one starter, you know, how was that?
It was fun, you know, just getting to learn all the kinks of SEC football and, you know, the best experience is actually playing, so. Played a lot of snaps, you know, like you said, started from day one. So it was a great experience, you know, from the crowd to the games we won, the big games, and even the losses. I learned from all of it. So it was a great experience.
What was your welcome to the SEC moment as a true freshman?
Probably we played Kentucky, third game of the season. Coming out of high school, like, I didn't even look at Kentucky as a football school. It was straight basketball, so.
Yeah.
It was our first night game, and we went out there, man, and it was rocking, super loud. You know, it shocked me a little bit, and it was just a big game. So that was probably my welcome to the SEC moment.
Do you remember your stats? What you had? Tackles, PBUs, anything like that? You remember?
No, I don't even remember it. I was at the nickel position, probably had like 6 or 7 tackles. Yeah. Other than that, I ain't have many stats that game.
Well, since we're talking about stats, JC, man, you had one hell of a day at your pro day, and, you know, It wasn't a shock for you, but you know, you may have stunned some people at your pro day with your numbers. I'm going to read off a couple numbers right now. Your 40 was a 4.39, 4.1, a 41.5 vert, you know, 11.1 broad jump, 19 bench. You know, what did you feel like you had to prove with that opportunity laying right there in front of you?
Hey, Pat P, some people had clocked them at a 4.32. There was a few clocks out there that had 4.32 on it also. Hey,
so it sounded like he was well prepared to me.
No doubt.
But, you know, just going into it, talking to team and stuff like that, they wasn't really sure of my speed. That was kind of the biggest question on me. I knew I was going to, you know, smash every other category, but I particularly wanted to do good in that 40, man. And I just tried to lock in, you know, stay focused throughout the whole day. And, you know, I came out with a 4.3. We was on hand time, so the combine might have been a 4.42 or something like that. So hand time gave me the 4.3 I wanted, man. And I just feel like you said, it answered a lot of questions about me and just gave me a good rep.
Hey, 4.4, 4.3, they all the same thing. It's fast. You know what I mean? You open a lot of eyes. And because of the performance you were able to display during your pro day, I mean, your name is starting to just circulate up and down the first round. But when you look at some of the competitors at the cornerback position, you know, where would you rank yourself amongst all the corners that are available, especially the corners that have a first round grade?
I'll put myself at the top. You know, I'm sure they'll say the same thing, but you know, I feel like what separates me is just my versatility, the way I compete. I feel like when you watch me on tape and you watch them, it's two different animals you're looking at. And, you know, like I said, it's...
What kind of animal are you? You say two different animals. Man.
I'm a dog, man. I don't know about them, but, you know, I always feel like I'm the biggest dude on the field, and I just try to play that way. So I feel like that separates me from the rest of the corners in the class.
Hey, Pat P, real quick, this past season, and JC talked about watching you play when you were at LSU. You don't see too many corners in college football follow the opposing team's number one wide receiver. Remember, you did it a few times against Julio. Yep. And this past year, JC had the opportunity to follow Seth Williams from Auburn. And many felt like he was an super talented wide receiver. Granted, he had the numbers to back that statement. But JC put on a coaching clinic.
You feel
man, Pat, oh, man. Listen.
Hey, I just about to ask you this. My question for you, Mac, like, you know, obviously we know – you know, I had the opportunity to watch JC a couple of times, and you've been very, very high on this young man. Like, you know, why are you so high on JC? And I know
let me put my analyst hat on. One thing I like about the cornerback position, I love seeing development and growth. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at JC from his freshman year, you know, to the sophomore year, and currently to where he is now, you saw progress. He wasn't stagnant. Mm-hmm. And I think what he did this past season was just continue to add to the resume of all the sound things he was able to do. And when he played against Seth Williams, he showed the ability to efface the opposing team's number one wide receiver.
Right.
And technically, he has it. Mm. Toughness, he has it. Mm. The competitive nature, he has it. And just the willingness to bite your leg off if he has to. You know, you got to have that mentality. You know what I mean? And he's a fundamentally sound corner. And the biggest question mark, I think, regarding JC, and, you know, he can agree or disagree, was the 40 time.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest question mark. Like, what will he run? You know what I mean? Either to solidify that first round grade or either to add more question marks about should he go in the first round? So that's why I was high on him, Pat P, man. The kid can play for four quarters and he's not afraid. When you on Sunday football, they're going to come at you. And either you're going to tuck your head and go to the end of the bench, or you're going to stand up and say, "Come, keep coming. I'm going to swing. You hit me, I'm going to hit you." And I think he's that type of player.
Yeah, and obviously that shows, because now I just strolled up my list here looking at his courtesy of Pro Football Focus. You know, he allowed 33% of the catches, which is the lowest in the SEC. And he averaged 27.4 yards per catch, which is the lowest in college football. So obviously, you know, the technical aspect and, you know, his all the act game, size of the game that you said he had is all coming together. So, JC, man, I wish you the best of luck, my brother.
I appreciate that.
Hey, JC, how did you handle I highlighted the game against Seth Woods. And matter of fact, I didn't get a chance to finish asking the question. At that point, going into the game when you knew they were going to have you following Seth, and when the game started, at what point did you really come to terms like I'm about to dominate?
As soon as you stepped out of the locker room.
Really? Nah, honestly though, just watching a lot of film that week, Seth Williams, a big 50-50 ball guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I just lacked targets all throughout my career. That's kind of why my interception numbers wasn't high and stuff like that. And, you know, when I got in the game, you know, I still had the question of what they actually throw at me. We got in the red zone and they came like back to back to back, a slant, like two fades. Mm-hmm. So I just looked and I was like, yeah, this is going to be one of them games. And I went to the sideline and just told my teammate, Israel Mukwamu, he had like three picks the year before at Georgia. I said, I might catch you today. And that's before I had any picks. So I just knew it was going to be one of those games when I seen that they wasn't scared to throw at me.
Right. And I could definitely vouch to you on those type of games. I can remember my first matchup, and I think it was against AJ. I think AJ was my first like official like assignment. And like you said, I watched so much film, was, you know, fired up that game. We ended up losing that game. We played in between the hedges, but man, as soon as I walked out of the locker room, I was like, yeah, this is going to be. It was just like that too. Cause in the red zone, they tried AJ on the slant and the fade, and I broke both of them up. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be that type of game, man. So I can vouch with you, on that point for sure. Hey, moving forward to draft night, what do you expect to get drafted? We already know, and we feel that you are the best corner in this highly talented DB group this year. Like, what do you expect you to go?
Man, I've been hearing so much different stuff. Like B-Mac said, just before the season, being ranked to go high first, some second, and now I'm hearing early is 8, 9, 10 to the 20. So, man, I don't even know. I'm ready for all of it to be over, and I got a team I'm playing for, and I can play football again.
Well, they got some of these draft boards. You're going to the Cardinals, so if you do get picked here, man, hold 21 down for me, all right?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna jump in at 21. I go to Cardinals.
Yeah,
that's solidified. We go ahead and put a stamp of approval right here. Pat P, you okay with Young Bull get 21?
Yeah, Jace can hold it down, man. Jace can hold it down.
Hey, it's already a blessing to be where you currently are, but you know, just hearing your name called, you know, and me and Pat P talked about this, I think, a few shows ago. There are only a few people that will get drafted that they're going to be happy where they got drafted.
Right.
You know what I mean? Pat P went top five, so Pat P had no issue. I went in the second. I had an issue. It's going to be a lot of people, man. Like, when you get drafted, you're going to be happy. You're like, man, come on, man. Who went before me? What? I mean, Pat P, hey, JC, Pat P had that luxury. He was everyone knew when he came out.
Yeah.
He was going to be the only corner to go that high. He had no comp. But so some other guys, the other guys, may be like, man, what? Who went before me?
That's what they call that generational talent, man. He knew he was going early.
Hey, man, no you doubt. Got it too, man. You got it too, my brother. Trust me.
No doubt. Sure. Hey, JC, off the field question for you. When you balled out this year, you decided to opt out before the season was over, you know, basically after they fired Coach Muschamp, and some people label the quitter label on you. But how did you handle that, you know, hearing some of the negative criticism that was being thrown your way?
I'm not going to lie, man. It was tough. You know, just, you know, like you said, the type of player I am, I always put a team first. I've always, you know, done everything for the team. And getting that quitter label was tough, especially without releasing the whole story, you know. My aunt had complications due to COVID. I found out going into the Ole Miss game, which is my last game. She had been put on a breathing machine. My granddad had COVID and was down 30, 40 pounds. And I got all this news like going into that game. And I was going to opt out in the middle of the week. And T-Rod told me just play the game and don't make it a distraction. We'll talk after the game. And Friday night, like I said, my mom got the news. She was at my team hotel. Her sister was been put on a breathing machine. And I had made my mind up then, you know, I was out and out, and I talked to T-Rod Muschamp right after the game and told them, and that's kind of how I went. But, you know, like I said, the full story not being out and hearing a bunch of people labeling me as a quitter, it was definitely a struggle mentally. But, you know, I leaned on my family, and I also lost my aunt 2 weeks later, and they were still coming hard. So it was tough, but I just leaned on my family, and I'm in a better space now.
So how did you handle the training part of it? Because like with you being so young and being on a regiment in college, like how did you come up with your own training plan, your own training regimen throughout that time that you wasn't playing?
So basically, I just went back home to Atlanta. And like I said, I had a plan. You know, I was going to this lady named Lily 2 times a week doing, you know, footwork, 40 work, stuff like that. And then training with my DB trainer, Oliver Davis, like 3 times a week. But, you know, my eye was doing real bad, so I didn't even get to train really. I was in Birmingham with the rest of my family just waiting to hear on the news from her. So that's kind of how it went when I opted out.
Wow, that's a you know, a tough story, you know, because that's the thing about people, you know, in the social media world or people who are fans. They don't actually know why certain players do what they do. And instead of just trying to do their due diligence and understand what's going on, they throw criticism.
Right.
And I think any individual knowing that, you know, clearly would have kept those criticisms to themselves. But, you know, it all will work out for you, and you got to do what's best for you and your family. You were able to do that. Let's transition to the technical aspect of the game before we get to the superlative part of the show. When you look at J.C. Horn, if I was a coach and I asked you, J.C., what type of corner are you? What would you say?
Man-to-man corner. Take away number one receivers. That's what I hang my hat on. That's my label. I can do everything else, but I'm sure that's what a team would want in the corner, and that's what I do best. So that's what I hang my hat on.
What do you feel like? Obviously, you noted that press man-to-man. Like, what are some of the things that you do to keep you focused or staying score at the line of scrimmage? Because we all know how important it is not having those false steps, making sure you stand square so you can be able to, you know, direct or detour the receiver wherever you want him to go. So I just want to hear some of your kinks that you do to help put yourself in a good position.
Well, the first thing is just focusing. You know, a lot of people, that's where they lose at the line of scrimmage. You know, eyes everywhere. You're not conscious of the things you're supposed to be doing. So I just try to focus and then just keeping my head stay square as possible. Make them work around you. Try to use my length. And, you know, it's something I got better with. Like, I talked to B-Mac before the season, and I told him, like, yo, give me some stuff that you feel like I need to work on. And, you know, after he told me some of the stuff, my focus went to a whole new level. I just try to hone in on, you know, good eyes, good pad level, and using my length more. And that's what I try to do at the line of scrimmage.
And when you say good eyes, are you training your eyes? Like, when I say training your eyes, we know we all train our eyes during practice. You know, we all train our eyes when we warming up. But in the off season, are you still training those eyes, like putting your eyes through a training? Like right now, we always talk about Matt, the visor.
Mm-hmm. The visor, yep.
That's my training mechanism.
Explain that to JC, Pat. Working out with the visor or the regular ball cap like you got.
Right. So like how I train my eyes, because like you talked about, very great points, you know, focusing. And it does come down to the eyes. Once your eyes get up, now it's giving you that illusion that this guy's going everywhere. But when you look at it in naturality, he's standing right here. The only thing that's moving is his shoulders. So what I like to do is to train my eyes is when I talk about training my eyes. Yeah, we know when we get in a stance in practice, we know where our eyes got to be, and we feel like we're training our eyes there. But to make it subconscious is, like, when you out working out today, tomorrow, just have a hat. You know, if you're doing some, I'm sure you do press work, you know, doing mm-hmm. workout drills, just put a hat on, and you'll be able to see initially, right out the gate, what your eyes doing. And now that's going to really start training your eyes on where they need to be. Because, like, right now, see how my eyes is down? You can see my visor is pointing down. You can't really see my eyes. But now, once that guy you working and he see your visor doing this, now he know your eyes are moving. You know,
right.
You know, most guys, when they be like, man, my eyes was down, that visor ain't going to lie.
Yeah, for sure. So that's a great teaching point for training, for sure.
Yeah, so there you go, man. Train them eyes, baby.
No question.
Yes, sir.
And every rep has to look the same. You know, coach told me one time, to win your rep, it starts with your position. When you get down in a real good football position, you're not on your heels, that's already the first step in winning that rep. And then everything else goes second nature with your feet, your hands. Number one, your eyes, your feet, your hands. Yep. And it has to always look the same. You know, one of the unique corners that I used to love watching when I was playing, especially that 2009 season with Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
And his bump and run game was always the same.
Always.
Everything looked the same. And I used to tell Pat P that when Pat P finally mastered it, it was money time.
Yeah.
The great corners, they always look the same playing bump and run. It doesn't matter if they're playing against speed, big speed or little speed. You know what I mean? Sometimes some corners adjust their technique based on who they're going against. But when you got proper technique and proper fundamentals, those same skill sets and traits will work against any type of receiver you're going against. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the most part. So just continue to be extremely consistent in how your reps look at line of scrimmage. And that's something that you've been doing throughout South Carolina. Like I said, you've gotten better. And even throughout your draft, your pre-draft process, working out, looking real good and staying low. You know what I mean? Low man always win, especially when you're playing off technique.
Before we get into our superlative part, hey, Jace, another thing I would like to share with you. When you do get in the league, study yourself, because you got to think about it. These guys are the best of the best. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you put someone on tape that they can't beat at a certain time, you best believe that they're finding a way to try to beat it. So now you got to always go back and check on yourself throughout the season. You know what I mean? Seeing what you did bad throughout that season and make sure that make that a point of emphasis throughout your training or throughout the offseason. So, you know, make sure, because a lot of guys forget that. A lot of guys get to study themselves to really help themselves become better. Because like D-Max said, how you going to become better? Stagnant. You know, at some point, everybody's always looking for a way to get better. You got to be one of those guys. So that's my little nugget to you as well, man. So when you get in the league, don't forget the little things. Still work your ass off. Still have those same focus and the things that carry you through college. Don't lose it, because the good ones, they keep that and they stay in this league a long time. And I believe you can be a good one. So make sure you can, you know, I mean, you keep those same values that you had in college over onto the league.
And so stay in shape.
Yeah, nothing going to change is now.
Stay in shape.
You're going to be on your own. You know, you, like Max said, you're going to have to work out now like you've been doing, but you got to stay on top of it. You're going to get older. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot more free time. You have money. You know what I mean? So just be smart and just have the same values that you have right now.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Stay in shape too. Stay in shape. But it's a year round job. When you play cornerback, and one thing that people don't realize, and you know about this playing corner, wide receivers come in and out of ball games. I don't care if you see a number one or number two. They substitute. DBs, we not coming out. When you in that starting lineup, especially in the NFL, man, nobody not coming to get you.
Man, hey, though, I never forget, though. I remember Detroit was great for that, though. I used to have a Megatron, me and P2 Megatron matchup. You know, we doing our thing. They have Megatron out on first and second down. Bring freaking this one. I forgot who the speedster was. Ran me on a go first down. They ran me on a dummy post second down. Then brought Calvin Johnson in on third down, money down. While I'm all, they thought I was tired. But like Max said, I'm in shape, and I take pride in my shape. And I was able to make a play on that third
down. That back shoulder fade?
I think it was, yeah, exactly.
Hey, what's some of the things you do to stay in shape? Like, how you go about it?
Yeah, I do a ton of cardio work. I run a lot. Like my coach would tell you, he think, like I be running marathons sometimes. Like I just feel like, you know, with me, I always have to do something to keep my heart rate up. I want to run for a long period of time because I know football is a short burst of running, but at the same time, I'm training my lungs to be able to endure a long period of, you know, running or a long period of exhaustion. But so my body will be able to recover faster. So I do a ton of cardio. If I show you, matter of fact, I don't have it right now. I can show you my track of how much I run. On average, I probably run like 4.7 miles when I do run.
And that's daily.
Yeah, so I do a lot of running. But you don't have to do that. You can do a bike, you know what I mean, Stairmaster, whatever it may be. Just do
you can something. Switch it up, too. You can go old school, you know, run your 110s.
Yeah.
Something that we used to do called Mike Dickers, where you would run every line. You start on that goal line. You sprint across the field. You jog to the next line. You sprint all the way across the field. You jog to the next line. You sprint. So you do that the entire length of the football field, up and back.
So I just did that condition, a DB condition. So this two things that I do for like DB condition, like game actual reps, is like I go through scenarios like my first set I'm gonna do, like say for instance the first quarter. So on average in the first quarter it's gonna be about 16 plays. So in the first set I'm working the dynamometers of the field. So the first set I might go through four plays, like four receiver reps, right? And have like a 30 second break. And now I'm gonna come back and have three reps. So I'm acting like it's a three and out. You know what I mean? So then the next drive, I might add in seven. I might add in five, acting like it's an extended drive. So now I'm acting like I'm in practice and I'm acting like I'm getting game reps as well. The new one I just did Thursday for my conditioning was I had a 50 yard, you know, just straight up and down. It's like it was almost like suicides, but I did it backpedaling. So I backpedaled with my coach, and Rod Hood is my coach, my personal coach who I had for the last 5 years. Been amazing. He's been one of the main guys who helped me turn my technical aspect of my game around. But we'll backpedal for 5 or 6 yards, or whenever he tell me to open, and I'll burst for 50. So I do that for 8 reps. Then the next rep with a 2-minute break. The next rep, we'll go for like 35 yards. Backpedal until you tell me to open, burst until I get to the cone. But at the same time, I have to still make sure I have discipline because I'm going on his command. So it'll be times he might tell me to backpedal the whole 35, the whole 20. You know what I mean? So it's also working the discipline part of it in it as well. And I like doing those type of conditioning works because it's mental. You know, when most guys can't think when they got that helmet on, you know what I mean? So that's why I like to do a lot of stuff like that to exhort myself so I can make sure that I'm always sharp when my body do come to a point of being a little fatigued or tired.
And let one more thing I like to add, something that we used to do called metabolics. And metabolics is a conditioning way. It's a way to condition like you're actually in game. So you can get maybe 5 or 6 wide receivers. If you're working out a bunch of guys, you know, when it's time to condition, get you 5, 6 receivers and you cover them. Like first rep could be bump and run, cover one. The next rep could be cover 3, a fire zone off technique. But everything you're doing is a man-to-man concept. Either you can play bump and run, and you can play off technique. And those receivers are running legit routes from a quarterback. But then you're getting a new body every rep. You know what I mean? So now when they finish a route, if it's a go ball, you got to jog right back to the line of scrimmage, look to the sideline, get your call, whatever it might be. And now you got to line up. If it's a choke situation with press, you got to go up and play press. Now you got a whole nother receiver, just like how we kind of talked about earlier with receivers substituting and you getting new receivers. So if you metabolics, you add that to your repertoire as well. When it comes to conditioning, it's a different type of conditioning. You know what I mean? But it's like, it puts you in that game formation. You know what I mean? Where you're getting new bodies and these guys trying to route you up. You know what I mean? They don't care nothing about you being tired. They trying to route you up. Yeah. Eventually your body gets used to that format. And then when camp starts, you kind of already in football shape because we all know we can run all day, but the best way to get in football shape is football. By playing football. You know what I'm saying? That's real dope right there. So we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show. We got a few quick questions for you. Let me see if you can bite on this slant. I'm going to run a slant and go on you. Let me see if you're going to jump on this slant. Best moment at South Carolina.
Beating Georgia sophomore year.
Oh, in Athens.
There's number 3 team. We went down there and got them.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm coming back with you real quick. Best quarterback that you faced in college?
Gotta go Trevor Lawrence.
You saw him every year. I mean, when he was starting, that rivalry.
He slung that thing around. Yeah. Sure.
This is a tough one right here. Best player you had to cover in college and some of the notable names you covered. Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Kyle Pitts, T. Higgins.
Man, I'm going to go Devontae Smith and Kyle Pitts. They rock neck and neck. Elijah Moore also, he from South Florida with the Ole Miss.
Ole Miss number 3, right? Number 8.
The 8. Yeah. All three of those guys, tough coverage. You know, like you said, I follow most of the time. So I was on Elijah in the slot with a 2-way go. Tough cover. Devontae got an awkward game, man. Awkward releases. And he one of those guys I feel like that studied DBs like Pat was saying. And Calvin Pitts, man, you can be there. And he never really covered because he's 6'6", got a big catch radius. So all those guys, man, was great, great competitors.
Okay. Man, that's dope conversation. JC Horn, Patrick Pierce, and Brian McFadden, all things covered, man. We got everything covered today because we got 3 corners on. One retired, one future Hall of Famer, and one future first round selection. We're going to put it in the universe. Top 10 selection. We're going to just throw that in the universe right now. Hey, JC, thank you for joining us here, man. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, man. Keep me updated with what's going on, man. And like you said, anything you need from either one of us, you know what I mean? Pat P got a lot of tricks in his bag. That bag's super deep, too. He willing to share it with you, especially you go out there to AZ and rock that number 21.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yes, sir. Yes, man. Sir. Appreciate you.
And I told you guys early in the show, we got two special guests joining us. Two great additions to the secondary. And man, we got these young secondary players coming in the league ready to kick down the door first quarter. We got another outstanding member trying to do the same thing. Talented NFL cornerback prospect out of Florida State University, DBU. I said it, Pat P. You got to swallow it. It's our day. First team. Hey, it's our day, Pat P. Ain't all that LSU talk y'all boys been ganging up with me on and all this and all that. You and Jamal and Tyree and all y'all. No, it's our day today. DBU, Florida State. You gotta take that. First team, all ACC in 2020. You can follow him on Instagram at Zont, Z-O-N-T, period, 954. Oh, yeah. And he's from Broward County. So we got three cover corners on the show right now from Broward. Man, Asante Samuel Jr. joining us here. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. Man, how you feeling?
Feeling good. Just blessed to be in this position. I've been working all my life to be here.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, talking about this position you're currently in, you know, what is your day-to-day routine like? Granted, you're done with your pro day. I know you're happy that that's finally over. But this entire pre-draft process, you know, what has your schedule looked like?
It's kind of up and down. Some days I have like 2-3 Zoom calls. Some days I have one. But just basically just working out some Zoom calls and just playing the waiting game right now.
Yeah. Hey, what high school you went to?
I went to St. Thomas.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought maybe you would have went to, your pops went to BA, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he went to BA.
Okay. I got you. So, like, how is it, how has it been for you, you know, being a son of a former All-Pro, but obviously, you know, holding the name down? What's some of the advantages and disadvantages been for you as you trying to get your career off to the NFL start?
It's a blessing to have an NFL father, and I mean, it's a lot of advantages to it, but the disadvantages, just people trying to compare me all the time to him, just thinking I'm him, thinking like we just like the same person. We kind of the same, but we very different in many ways.
Right.
And speaking of your father, he played for the Patriots, the Eagles, and the Falcons. What do you remember about his playing days? And we look at the success he was able to have as a cover corner in the National Football League.
I just know he was a great player. He played on some Super Bowl teams with Tom Brady them. And he was just a great player. That's all I can remember.
So with you being from our neck of the woods, South Florida, how was it playing for St. Thomas Aquinas? How did it prepare you for the next level? Because I had some running into St. Thomas. I could never get over the hump against
Pat. You never beat St. Thomas before?
Nah, I never beat St. Thomas, man. I couldn't get over George Smith, man. George Smith had the key. He had the key, dog.
Yeah, I ain't never beat St. Thomas either.
Yeah, how was it, like, you know, being on campus, and how did they prepare you, you know, for that next level?
Just being around, like, NFL talent. I played with Joey Bosa. I mean, not Joey, Nick Bosa, Damon Arnett. A lot of guys, Jordan Scarlett, just a lot of NFL guys is competing every day with them. And the structure that George Smith and Coach Harry had while I was there, just like a college structure. So when I came to college, I mean, I would honestly say high school was harder than college for me. But
let's go ahead and run that back real quick. Because, you know, if you're from South Florida, you know about the prestige that St. Thomas has football wise. But there are a lot of people that are listening to us and a lot of people that are watching us on YouTube. They may have heard of St. Thomas, but they really don't know what St. Thomas is. Can you name some of the players that played before you at St. Thomas that went on to the NFL and some players that you played with at St. Thomas that went on to big universities and also have an opportunity to play in the National Football League as well? Some names that you can remember off the top of your head.
Well, just off the top of my head, I mean, I know Michael Irvin, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Damon Arnett, LaMarcus Joyner, James White, Giovanni Bernard, Philip Dorsett. That's all I can think of right now, but I know it's way more, but it's just a lot of NFL talent.
Yeah, hey, you ain't lying about that, because I'm trying to think, who did I play with? I know I played against Jannard. Who else did I play with? I don't remember playing against.
Y'all played against St. Thomas your senior year, Pat?
We played against him my junior and my senior year.
Did Geno Atkins went there too?
Oh, yeah, Geno Atkins.
Oh, yeah. Geno. Yeah, I played against Geno. Major Wright.
Major Wright.
All right, brother.
That's all I can.
They had a few linemen too.
My man, the receiver, Leonard Hankerson.
Hankerson went to Miami. Yeah. Played for Washington.
Yeah. Now you guys definitely have some talent every year. Zunt, if you don't mind me calling you Zunt, since that's your Twitter handle, what led you to leaving school early?
I just felt like I've been putting good film on there for 3 years. I mean, I was in a Florida State band in a up and down type of situation right now, but I still managed to be able to make plays and still be able to do what I do on the field. And I just feel like I'm one of the best cornerbacks in the draft right now. And being from South Florida, you know, I mean, we just kind of different. I mean,
Hey, did your dad give you any advice, you know, throughout the process?
I mean, just stay humble and just do what I've been doing all my life.
Yeah, just left in your hands, because obviously it's your journey. So I respect that.
Man, when you say South Florida's different, man, could you know, elaborate a little bit on that? What you mean by that? You know what I mean? Of course, I know, Pat Pete know, but like okay. I said, a lot of people, you know, watching us on that might not know exactly what you mean. When you talk about football in South Florida, we talk about players coming from South Florida. When you say they're different, what do you mean?
Just the way we go about things, the swag we got on the field, just everything. I mean, it's so much things that we've been doing. Since we was little at Little League parks at a lot of the LA, a lot of Hill Lines, so I mean, it's a lot of people in South Florida that's supposed to be in the league right now, but they ain't get that opportunity. So right. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. You got to be there to feel it.
You got to be there, no doubt.
I agree 100%. I'll never forget, man. I went down there, dog. It was 2019 at the Lauderhill Stadium, the new one they rebuilt. It was a Little League football game, bro. And it was like 10,000 people there. I think it was the rematch of the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Mac, I never seen that many people in one setting for a Little League football game. It was amazing.
Oh, Little League football right now in South Florida, Pat P, is different.
I know.
It's different. High school football is different than when I played, than when you played. With the 707 circuits, you know, they got these AAU-like football programs now when it comes to 707. It's a big deal down there. And you got to be mentally tough. You got to be physically gifted to be able to come out and get the opportunities like Zant is having right now in front of him. Before you had have an opportunity of getting drafted, when you came out of St. Thomas, you know, you had the cream of the crop coming out, trying to get you to sign with their university.
That's what I just decided to ask. LSU was on his list, man. I'm trying to figure out why Florida State.
No. Well, hey, the source, we got the source right now, Pat P. If you want to get a valid answer, we got the source with us right now. Why you chose Florida State, Zant?
I mean, just like you said earlier, we DBU, great defensive backs came out of Florida State, and they thrive in the NFL. That's what I want to do. I mean,
respect.
Hey, Zant, you should hear Pat P when the LSU boys on here. And he's I like the integrity that Pat P has. You know what I mean? He's respecting it now, but when his LSU boys on here, oh man, you know, we DBU, we've been doing this, we've been doing that.
But what I say all the time, Mac, I said, if it's anyone, it's definitely between us two, because year in and year out, the guys that we put into the league, the guys perform, you know, the guys, you know, go to the next level and continue having a prominent career once they leave college. And, you know, most colleges can't say the same thing. So we both are, man. That's why I say when you have a Florida State guy on, I'm happy to share with the Florida State guy.
Anybody else? For everybody.
Yeah. Anybody else, Mac? I won't be displeased. All right.
No doubt. Hey, Zant, you know, I've been watching your game, man, since day one, of course, playing at Florida State. And I, you know, me being a football analyst for CBS, I had the opportunity of breaking down a lot of cornerbacks, you know, and watching your tape, you remind me a lot of Jair Alexander, the corner from Green Bay. And I think I said that also too. I see a lot of great things in your game, especially the willingness to tackle, you know what I mean? Being feisty and playing with that chip on your shoulder. But when you self-scout yourself, what are some areas you would like to improve on?
I'll just say just taking better angles to tackle defenders and just probably staying square a little bit long. Just getting my hands on guys more. I'm strong, so I just need to use it to my ability.
Hey, Pat P, share some of your tricks when you talk about, you know, helping staying square, you know, similar to what you broke down with JC. I'm pretty sure Zant would love to hear some of the tricks that you have in your bag when you're playing bump and run and being patient, being square, and being able to get your hands on wide receivers consistently.
Yeah, it just comes down to, as sure Zant knows this, just comes down to eyes, you know, just continue to train our eyes, you know, throughout, you know, drills, you know. So like I just showed, I just told JC by working with the visor, you know, like the visor I have on my head, to give us a better idea of if our eyes are really staying down. You know what I mean? So I go up against a DB, I put a visor on, and you know, we always say we want our focus point to be between the belly button to mid thigh. So now what's really going to help me keep my eyes focused on that is the visor, because once my eyes come up, the visor is going to come up, and that's going to be a clear indication of if my eyes are in the right place. And another thing with staying square is, as you know, false stepping. You know, you want to make sure you have good pressure points so it don't create those false steps. You know, guys, coaches always say, you know, get off your heels, you know, get on your balls of your feet. And what the pressure point is going to come from is you figuring out where your pressure point is, because, you know, everybody has different body structure. And for you to figure out your pressure point, that's where you're going to have to get in position and like literally bend down to feel where the most pressure is in the balls of your feet. And that's going to be the money position for you, because now the only place you're going to be able to go is backwards. And that's going to take the false step out of your game. So, I mean, it's a lot of things you can do at self-evaluating, looking at a lot of film, looking at receivers to really see what they're doing. If they're really all, because all of this stuff right here is really just an illusion. You know, look at tape in slow motion, because that's what I do a lot is when I have one-on-ones, I watch all my one-on-ones in slow motion. I'm looking and seeing what the receiver is doing within those first 3 yards, because that's important to me, versus having a false step, opening the gate, not getting nothing on them. You know, that's defeating the purpose of playing, you know, press coverage. So watching in slow motion, and when the first thing you're going to see is that receiver ain't doing a damn thing but coming straight to you. And I'm quite sure you know this already. So now just have that in your mind when you are pressed, you want to get your hands on this guy. It's almost like a timer. You know, I got to get my hands on this guy within three yards. I have to find out something to keep me square within these 3 yards to disrupt the timing and become better at the press position. So those are a little couple of nuggets that you can use on in your game and to help improve that line of scrimmage game, because that's where it starts, at the line of scrimmage, especially if you want to get hands on guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And also, too, I know you mentioned about, you know, proving your angles when it comes to tackling. Angles is extremely important when it comes to covering as well. The great corners utilize great angles. You don't have to be a 4-2, 4-3 guy. It's all about being able to utilize the proper angles to make sure that you're always where you need to be. And when you master that skill set as well, the sky's the limit. I remember when Pat P first got drafted, I used to talk to Pat P all the time, because see, Pat P, he had this rare form of athleticism that he only had. You know what I mean? I couldn't cover like Pat P because I didn't have the athleticism that he had. And I remember I told Pat P, I said, Pat, when you combine the athleticism with the fundamentals and the technique, it's going to be wrap. You know what I mean? So being able to add certain things like angles, along with what he talked about at the line of scrimmage, being patient and making sure every rep looks the same. And when you do things now, like when you're working out on your own or you're working out with a group of guys, try to have someone recording your reps. You know what I mean? When you're doing bump and run, when you're getting some wide receiver work done, try to have someone record your reps so you can actually watch it back in slow motion if possible, or just rewatch yourself over and over again. Just study yourself. When you're playing off technique, you know, pre-snap alignment is always important when you're playing off technique. You know, making sure you got the right foot up, making sure you got your three-step read ready to go. You got a good position on your wide receiver, and now you're utilizing your leverage and your angles to be able to be right where you need to be, and it becomes contagious. You know what I mean? Interception comes in bunches. Good reps comes in bunches. They become contagious, and before you know it's second nature, like how you inhale, exhale. It'd be the same thing when you're covering someone. Dang. Now, I'm just on it today. I know you had the moments where you be in practice, be like, man, I'm on it. No. Yeah. But when that happens every time you play in a ball game, that's when everything happened for you. You know what I mean? Just being able to master that now while you're getting ready for camp, whatever team drafts you. And then when you get rolling, man, it's like, man, shoot, man, we know he has the mentality, but now he got the fundamentals and the technique as well. So those are little things you can incorporate, you know, in your game while you're training right now. And then whenever you do get drafted, you know, you can take those same fundamentals, same thought processes to that said team. And speaking of draft, you know, what do you expect your draft night to be like? You know, what are you planning on doing? You know what I mean? Are you trying to have a, you know, family over, a few friends over? You be in South Florida. What do you expect to have going on during your draft night?
I just want to have close friends, close family with me, the people that was really with me before all this came about, and just really having the people that was really with me through everything. I'm just gonna be so blessed and humble to be in that position, and probably tears gonna come. I know my whole family probably gonna be crying, so it's just gonna be.
Hey, what's gonna be your request? Cause I know, you know, obviously with it being your day, what you gonna request as far as to eat, you know, a dessert? Like, what's your favorite thing that you gonna request to have at the party?
Yeah, you got to have a draft. You got to have draft food. You got to have draft food, bro. That's your day.
Yeah.
Probably have some Big Rays. Big Rays, that's like some barbecue chicken, macaroni, baked beans, southern food. You know, I ain't going to switch up now.
Hey, you can't switch up now. You talked about having a lot of Zoom calls, you know, that you've been on. Have you met with, you know, multiple teams twice, or most of the Zoom calls you've been a part of have been with different teams, but have you had the opportunity of meeting with a few teams over and over again, to say at least two times?
Yeah, I've talked to I pretty much talked to every team in the NFL like twice. So
okay,
yeah, and I'm sure I'm gonna have some more scheduled before a draft, but I'm just waiting for them to text me and set up another one.
Have you gotten a good vibe from any team that you've met with via Zoom?
Actually, the Steelers, the Browns, and the Jets.
Mm. Three teams that all need cornerbacks, I can tell you that much. And Mike Tomlin was at your pro day, right?
Yes, sir.
It's a good feeling when the head coach is at your pro day, and I can tell you this much. Steelers love drafting Florida State players. Just throw that out there.
Ready to work.
Just throw that out there. Hey, so we're going to switch up to the superlative part of our show. We're going to hit you with rapid-fire questions. Once you're honest, unbiased answer. Pat P, I'll let you take the first one first.
Your favorite part of playing football? Favorite part of playing football at Florida State?
Playing in Dope.
Dope Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got one for you. Best St. Thomas Aquinas grad in the NFL right now?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I say right now, it got to be Nick Bosa.
Nick? Yeah. Hey, that boy.
I mean, they got both Bosa brothers, but one Bosa was injured, so yeah, that Nick Bosa. He tough out there.
Yeah, he definitely is.
All right, this is my last one for me, Mac. Your best interception in your college career?
College career, I'll probably say my first one against Virginia.
Okay. You remember the play? You remember how it happened? Walk me through it.
What route was it? Yeah, take us through the play. What was it called?
I think it was really like third down. It was the first drive of the game. They marching down the field, and we was in a cover two, but the quarterback started to scramble. So you know, they tell us to split the defenders. Mm-hmm. And I split the defenders, and he kind of threw it behind his target, and I just made a play on the ball.
All right. I got one for you. Best cornerback from Broward that's currently on his interview right now.
You got to say himself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah.
I'll be disappointed if he didn't say himself.
Yeah. All right, so let me switch it up with you. With this,
like
this
you said, we from Florida, man. We different. We don't give a damn who on the Zoom call.
I'm retired. I would say me, and I ain't covered nobody. And I don't know how long. Hey, no doubt. All right, Zomp, last one for you. Who do you hate more, Florida or Miami?
Oh, Miami for sure.
Oh, that boy said Miami for sure.
He went to Miami. Why everybody? That was the first Miami we got. Everybody
because Derwin said Florida. Yeah. Why you hate Miami more than Florida?
Because I don't know. It's just something about that.
It's closer to him.
Yeah, it's closer.
It's home. Yeah.
I know I grew up with most of the players on the team, and they just talk so much. And you know, Florida State and Ben, they just acting like they just been – killing Florida State, the whole rivalry.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And Miami fans, they are annoying, though, because every time, you know, they start off 3-0, or the U back. How many years y'all going to be back? When y'all going to ever get to where y'all going? Every year, the U back. We back. I guess you're admitting that you actually left. To be back, right. You got to leave,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, Zomp, man, we appreciate you joining us, man. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, man, pleasure having you on. Man, looking forward to seeing you get drafted.
Sir.
Hey, you look real good up in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Go ahead and rock that number 20. Who got 26? Hey, I think Benny Snell got 26.
I'll get 40. what they want me to do. Just tell me they come get.
Hey, remember I told you the Steelers love drafting Florida State Seminoles, man. Yeah. So, yeah, hey, man, just regardless of the situation, just to be where you currently are, man, is a blessing. And you will get drafted, you know what I mean? And just take that opportunity and run with it and be, you know, just appreciative of the moment, man. And we're going to continue to support you. And you know I'm going to support you. You know, you're a Florida State guy. But, man, anything you need from any one of us, me or Pat P, man, when it comes to the game, man, you know, we here and keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate that. Thanks, y'all, for having me on here.
Thanks again to J.C. Horn and Asante Samuels Jr. And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back next week where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
Peace.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.